Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wake up, Hawks fans. The team is doing something this offseason. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion. He was a captain, maybe not here, but he was in college. Former Atlanta Falcon, Michael. Don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson.
Porzingis.
We'll get to that
later.
You
like that.
When did you think of that?
Yeah.
He just did. You can see how proud he was of it. She is the queen of tofu, the first lady of the red-hot Atlanta baseball team, the Braves. Miss Sally Mack. And we sprinkle in Dylon when needed to take our powers and combine them and make up the greatest sports talk morning show in the history of Atlanta radio, The Morning Shift. That's right. I said it.
Yeah, that's heavy-handed.
Just let it ride. You know, sometimes you just got to let things breathe, Michael.
That's all. Thank you. I'm writing down that at 6:05:02, Bo says sometimes you got to let it breathe. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that side note. And you're not going to do my man Dylon like that. He's not sprinkled in when needed. That sounds like he's just a throwaway member. You know what I mean?
If he was a throwaway member, his name wouldn't even be said.
Yeah. It just felt disrespectful.
No, I just try to think of a new way every day on the fly to bring Dylon into the mix.
What is with the pageant wave back there, Dylon? What's happening? You've done that 2 days in a row now.
I don't know. I did it yesterday, so I decided to do it today.
Well, yeah, keep doing it because there were good vibes in Atlanta sports yesterday, so maybe you keep doing that until there's not, right?
Hey, yeah. There you go. We'll start a little streak. But, Mike, to your point, just real quick, I'm an important role player like Nikhil Alexander Walker.
We ain't even discussing that guy yet.
That's why I brought up. Me and Mike were talking about you before the show started, Bo.
I was like, dude, I don't know. I don't pretend to know the in depths of Nikhil Alexander Walker, but I feel like he's pretty good. Yeah. Anyways,
I'll say he'd be a very good pickup for the Hawks. But I know we got other stuff to talk about, so I'm gonna leave it there.
I love that, man.
Because we are gonna get into all of it. We have such a stacked show today. 6:20, we're going to be talking about that Braves win from last night. Everybody was on the edge of their seat. 8 o'clock, 92.9's Caleb Johnson is going to jump in the studio, talk about everything NBA draft related.
What a great day to have him in here.
Seriously. And then at 8:40, we've got Charlie Culberson joining the show as well to talk all things Braves. But yesterday, headlines were hitting left and right. Hawks made some major moves, part of a 3-team deal. So Boston is sending the Hawks Porzingis and a second-round pick. Hawks are trading Terrence Mann and their number 22 pick to the Brooklyn Nets. And then Boston will get George Niang and a second round pick from the Hawks. Did I get all that right?
Yeah.
Sounds about right. The Hawks do get the one of the 2026 second round, like the worst, I think it's the Celtics choice of which one they get. I'm going to miss George Niang, by the way. I'm a big fan of Niang. He might be one of the slowest players in basketball history, but I just love what he brings to the table as a role player.
Yeah, a little trash talk, and obviously, you know, at least they're going to attempt to shoot most nights.
I think he's a good shooter for what he is, a bench player. He's going to give you 9-10 points a game, which is maybe what Nikhil Alexander Walker would give you. I know it's Nikhil, but
why disrespect him? Then?
Well, I don't know. It's almost spelled like a Nikhil.
It's like if I was like, we're live here with Bayou Morgan.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, hell, they do that to me at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I know.
And it hurts my feelings.
Look, I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds on the actual basketball part just yet, but I will say that it just felt so good to see a piece of news fly across my phone yesterday that had to do with the Atlanta Hawks trying to make something happen. Like, it just felt good. I was at dinner. I looked down. I'm like, what does that say? Porzingis got traded. To the Hawks? What?
Let's react to it, because I have a question at 7 o'clock when we talk about this of what I to y'all, and I will also ask Caleb Johnson, our insider for the Hawks, at 8 o'clock about this as well. But I have a question of what this means for the next 2 to 3 years of the Hawks. Because I looked at it, and I'm seeing something, and I don't know if I'm right or if it's just Atlanta-itis or whatever, but Porzingis, when healthy, is good. You can't give one without the other. The guy, for his career, gives you 30 minutes a night and right at 20 points, right? He's a center. He can step outside and shoot. That's all great. However, he has missed 65 games the last 2 years. In fact, he's only played 65 games or more 2 years in his entire career. Now, last season, the season that just finished, that it was not injury. It was an illness. Like, I'm not going to really go down this road. Was it this long COVID or a super flu? I don't know. But it was an illness. It was not an injury. But he's had his best years as far as from three-point land the last couple of seasons, shooting like 41%. So I don't think he's a star necessarily at this point, but he's a really good player who will be like the third option in a young core along with Trey and Jalen Johnson, Reece Shea, Dyson Daniels. You know, he fits in nicely.
Well, let me jump on top of your question with this question, because it's a one-year deal and veteran player. You're saying he missed a lot of games last year. Does this at all sound a little bit like the Kirk Cousins deal, or am I off base?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one to stomach. I would say that the Falcons actually felt way more invested in Kirk Cousins at the time. Obviously, they're both expensive players, you know, injury history, whatever else it may be. I don't know.
I got an answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Me, no. He's not – when you brought Kirk in, Kirk was always a healthy player that had a bad injury. A tough injury late. Porzingis is still relatively young. I mean,
he's going to be 30 this season.
Yeah, he's 29 right now. He said 30 this season.
He's only played 9 years. He didn't play at all in 18 and 19. He missed the entire season. So he's relatively young. And he is being brought in here to be a starter, but not necessarily the guy. The guy is Trey. To me, Kirk was brought in here to be the guy, to be the leader, to be the guy that puts to brought it all together. Now, you could say, because Ali, you could say, and Dylan, you could say, since he's a center, is a much needed position, he's like maybe the guy that's going to put you out of the play-in round. That's what you're hoping, and into a six seed or whatever, right? Or right. A five seed. But I think what you, and not to mention, he's an expiring contract. Kirk Cousins, you signed to a four-year deal. 2 years is all he was ever going to be, but a four-year deal, big, big money. This is $30 million. That's just an NBA. That's just that's a bench player these days in the NBA with as much money as they're making.
Honestly, you're absolutely right. Daniel Gafford just got like $20 million a year, and he's like the third center on the Mavericks. But anywho, Bo, I think you're spot on. Kristaps Porzingis, to me, this is essentially, with his contract being an expiring one, like you said, this is essentially like a one-year prove-it deal. If he comes in, stays relatively healthy, maybe the Hawks thinking about give him another, you know, two-year deal or whatever the case is. For Kirk, though, they were, you know, I know it was a two-year deal, but they, like you said, they were coming in to – he was coming in being the guy. Kristaps is coming in being that piece that hopefully, again, puts them over the hump, and instead of a playing team, they're a 5-6 seed, like you said. So I completely agree with you, Bo. I like this move again. Y'all said it. If he stays healthy, he's going to be a really good addition and a really good fit into this Quinn Snyder offense and what they want to do. And he is one of the prototypical types of bigs that you need, that you should have around Trae Young, a guy that can space the floor, is not going to clog up the paint. So if Trae wants to take somebody off the dribble and he wants to get to the rim and he wants to drive, that space is free down there, you know, back in the day when Clint Capella was the guy and that big, he was sawed off the pick and roll, and that, you know, had its own benefits. But having a guy who can sit out there on the three-point line instead of clogging up the paint, that's going to be huge for a Trae Young who can get to the rim, a Jalen Johnson who can get to the rim, even the Dyson Daniels who's good at getting to the rim and getting off a floater. So it's going to create more space, obviously, his shooting. And on defense, he's a solid rim protector. I mean, in his 42 games last season, still had a block and a half a game. So he's going to be a solid presence down low defensively and rebounding as well, which is something the Hawks have struggled with a little bit over the last couple of years. So he does bring some very good qualities to the table, and he is going to be a systematic fit. It's all just, can he stay healthy?
And you nailed it with that last part, Dylan. And you go look at his career numbers, like his career average, and his numbers last year in the games that he played were all on par with that.
Right.
Right at the 2 minutes off his average minutes played. Literally on the head with how many points he's averaged in his career. And a rebound less, an assist more, same amount of rebounds. I mean, he when he's on the court, he's a great player and he's a great addition to this team.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's a star. I think the word star is used too much. And I love, there's a lot of enthusiasm. My guy, Randy Lewis, always tweets at me. We tweet all the time. He's a big, loyal listener to the show. He's like, he's definitely a star when healthy.
Yeah, and I think
that's the caveat, right?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the caveat. And you know, I went back and forth with a buddy of mine last night about this trade. And, you know, some of the reaction can be negative when you talk about Porzingis' health. But my response to that would be, what is the downside for the Hawks? Okay, there's what? You're paying him $30 million a year. You're not under a long-term contract. It's not like you're sitting there saying, well, you're going to owe him $30 million for that. Like, that's not what this is. You got rid of two bench players, and you didn't even have to trade your first-round pick. I mean, you traded a first-round pick, but not your top first-round pick at 13. So there's really the downside is so limited in terms of the Hawks. I don't see how anybody could not be a fan of the trade.
Exactly. And that's why at 7 o'clock, I know we're going to get back into this. That's why I want to ask you guys, what does this mean for Trae Young's future and this core's future? Because this deal, with way everything's set up, I think it gives some insight into what the future of this team could be.
That conversation will happen at 7 o'clock today, but we got to get to that Braves win from last night. We'll break down how the Mets lost 7-4. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
The Odyssey.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The app.
Olsen, line drive, base hit out into right center. Two will score. Atlanta has played in 5 of the 6 to grab the lead.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan. What a great day to have Charlie Culberson on 8:40. He'll be joining us to talk about that incredible win last night and the entire Braves season. Last night, Braves won 7-4. It did not start out great, though. Mets were up by 3 until the 6th inning when things broke open for the Braves, scored 5, added another 2 in the 8th. And Matt Olson, guys, back in May, I think he would come up to the plate and we're all a little bit like, what's going to happen here?
Not me, I never wavered.
But it's June, and we knew he was going to get hot in June, and here he is.
Yeah.
You want to hear his numbers in June real quick?
Yeah.
I don't have his average or on-base percentage or OBP, but in 21 games, he's 23 for 75. With 9 doubles, 3 home runs, 21 RBIs, and here's the number that is most impressive to me. And people are going to roll their eyes and say, oh, but this is 2025, and launch angle is a thing. He has as many walks as he does strikeouts in the month of June. 17 walks with only 17 strikeouts. And I say only because he's a strikeout guy. When he goes in a funk, he strikes out. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He's having good at-bats. His approach is good. He's seeing the ball well, and he's walking. I think he's got like, what's it, 25 or 6 now on base streak, which goes back, obviously, to May. He is as much credit as Acuna gets, which he deserves all of it because he's been phenomenal. Matt Olson has played well since Acuna has came back, too. It's almost like Matt Olson got better when he got another hitter in the lineup that took pressure off of him and that helped him see pitches. And him in that two-hole, I like. Now, he won't be there once Profar comes back, I think, July 2nd or 3rd. But he'll move him to 3, and now you can keep moving. So it's been great out of him. And you can ask Mike what I said in the middle of our race last night about the Braves game. Before they went and before that 5-run inning, I was not happy.
No, well, first of all, hang on. Let me unpack that entire thing. Let me start from the top. How many home runs did you say Madison has in the month of June?
3.
I just feel like when I look at the way he's swinging right now, First of all, I think his bat, and this is just from the naked eye, it just looks like it's leveled out a little bit. It looks like his bat's in the zone, that contact zone a little bit longer at some of his bats right now. But I also look at him and think, man, if not for the dead ball in Major League Baseball this year, he'd be approaching the 2023 numbers. It seems like once per game, it feels like in June, he has had warning track power. And you mentioned the exit velocity. Austin Riley last night with a couple of exit velo hits as well. It just felt like last night, even without Ronald Acuna getting any hits, you know, he gets on base like you said. It just felt like things were kind of coming together at the right time when you got to the bullpen. Now, we can approach how they did against Frankie Montas throughout the first five innings, which was absolutely brutal. But again, you get that inning where you're able to blow it up. You actually worked a couple of counts. This just felt like a Tim Hyers game last night, where you're actually able to work the count. Their bullpen starts blowing up. You're able to get quality hits at needed times with Matt Olson, like you said, and you're able to drive in some runs and pull away in the end. And your bullpen was better than theirs.
Like Nick Allen, three hits last night for the nine hole. And that's helping. And guess what? That's because of Acuna. It's also helping Acuna. It's why I think Michael Harris, who was hit last night in the elbow, did leave the game. Seems like everything will be fine. Should be down in that nine hole. But to your point about the Tim Hyers thing, nothing? Okay, cool. I'll do it for you. I said to your
point. Sorry, I was deep in thought about Tim Hyers.
I think that literally since the first Mets series, and really you could probably go back to Milwaukee, they've had that their approaches seem like that. The Marlins series, they didn't put hits together necessarily like we wanted, but I remember watching the series and just going, that was probably why I was so frustrated. I came in here Monday after the Marlins series, is I felt like they were approaching things the right way. It felt like the at bats were better. It just everything felt like it was getting close to right, and that's why losing two of them to the Marlins so frustrated. Allie said something to me the other day, and I want to give you credit. Allie's like, "What would you say if they come out of this 13 game stretch and they're 10-3?" And I'd be like, well, then I don't even know what I said, but I was like, I'd be blown away. Mm-hmm. I would feel great. Well, I don't think they're going to go 10-3, but if I'm not mistaken, they're 6-2 in the first eight of this 13-game stretch. Now, look, you got to find a way to win one of the next. You would love to sweep the Mets and continue steamrolling them. You're 5-0 against them, but just get one of two with Didier, and I think it would be Holmes next. The next two, I think, and or maybe it's Elder and then Holmes. It doesn't really matter, but just get one of those. But like it feels pretty good. And then you got to come home and you got Philly, and you'll have Schwellenbach in one of those, and you'll have Strider in one of those.
Yeah.
Did last night feel like it was going to go the wrong way for quite some time? Because
I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah, because it was 3-0, and it was like no, because when we start out that way, it doesn't always pan out in our favor, and we were, again, leaving guys stranded on base. Hot take here, but that score, I know it was 7-4, great score, but it should have been higher.
You know, and here's the thing, watching the first inning of this game, and this we're going to come back to this because of Spencer Strider talking trash to Juan Soto.
I love that.
There was a point in time, though, I think he walked Soto in the first inning, if I'm not mistaken.
He walked in the first two times up.
Yeah. So, but at that point, though, there was a foul ball to Soto in the first inning, and it was a grooved fastball. And I was like, oh, no. This is what we've been avoiding the last couple of weeks in these Spencer Strider outings, where he has not grooved the fastball. He's been able to locate it a little bit better. When he grooved the fastball, I immediately was like, okay, how fast was that? And it was like 97. I looked on the Statcast on the MLB app, and it was 97.8. And I was like, okay, now we're cooking with something. Because we've talked about it with Spencer Strider. The difference between him grooving 95 and grooving 98 is much different. And Francoeur's done a good job, as has CJ Nikowski, of explaining that on the Braves broadcast. So watching that in the first inning, I was like, this ain't going to be good. And he grooved another couple at certain points in times. I don't think we had the best version of Spencer Strider last night, but you know, that was a version that I feel like grinded it out and was able to get things done. It's not a quality start, but he was able to get some outs when he needed to and get some timely outs at that.
Yeah, you didn't have your best Spencer Strider. His location was off last night. He walked four guys, which is way more than he's been. He walked in those very good two outings, but he still was able to strike out eight because of his velocity. You know, look, it's, as much as we get on and everybody and as a whole, this – we jump on this bullpen, We'll get to what De Los Santos did to Iglesias, because I don't blame Iglesias last night for anything. But Johnson, Montero, and Dodd, they pitched three innings combined with five strikeouts, no hits. That's six, seven, eight. That was huge last night.
The bringing in Pierce Johnson in the sixth, I was like, really? Interesting. I mean, this is a guy who I thought 2 weeks ago might be fine to be the closer, and you're bringing him in the sixth inning, and then he strikes out the side, although I think he might have had a walk or a hit somewhere in there. But he looked good, and I was thinking, okay, if we can start utilizing a Pierce Johnson where we think of him, you know, as a closer-esque type of guy, and we can bring him in the sixth inning, now we're really talking about something. And I was with you. I thought that was exciting. I'm not going to take it completely off of Iglesias, because at this point, the sample size is starting to get too big. He gives up the I will say this. The hit he gives up, Ronald Acuna saved a run. The way he played it off the wall and relays the ball back in the infield, stops a runner at third, and the next out ends the game. And I thought that was huge, the way Ronnie was playing right field. I don't think we give him enough credit day in and day out for what his defense is.
No, it's overlooked for everything else he does. But when Iglesias comes in with one out, two runners on the corners, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily, you know, he basically can't make a mistake. And he did. He left that, I believe it was his changeup high. It just stayed up. If it's down, it's probably strike three, because he had just got a swing and miss earlier in that at bat on it. So that's why I say, you know, to get two outs in that situation with only one run, and you had runs to play with, I don't blame the fact that De Los Santos got two guys on there on him. Now, you want him to be perfect, but I think right now Dylan Lee's a guy with the confidence to be perfect. It's a game, though, Allie, that to your point that we should be – that, you know, you're talking about how many – they still left, what, 10 guys on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's frustrating. But, hell, we've lost that game all year.
Yeah.
We've lost that game all year.
I completely agree.
So I'm happy to win it, especially against a team that's as good as they are at home. The Mets came into this series 27-10 at home.
Yeah. Also, I at times have snitpicked the show. I do want to give him credit, though, for last night, the pinch hit for Eli White, where Eli White gets the hit right between the, you know, off the third baseman's glove. It was well timed. They're bringing the lefty. We'll stick Eli White in there. You ended up with Fairchild, I believe, in left field, and Eli White in the center. I thought that was the right move at the time. Snicker did a great job last night of pulling all the right strings at the right time, even going to Iglesias when he did. In the ninth inning, for whatever I think Iglesias did or didn't do, it's the right move given the time.
Do you agree that he has started to manage with urgency? I would say more urgency than we've seen from him in June in maybe ever.
Yeah, and again, I think the situation calls for that, right? We're at the end of June.
Agreed.
At the end of June. I think too many times you get in April, and you know, you have to realize as fans, it's a long season. You get in April, and you're like, well, these guys are good hitters. They're going to hit. He started pulling the strings where he wouldn't have maybe a month and a half ago, and said, okay, this is how to win this game and put all of our best pieces on the table here.
Well, and it was so incredible and refreshing to see Iglesias at the end of the game do his two fingers up to the sky, his signature move, because we have not gotten to see that in a while. And the series will continue tonight against the Mets with Didier Fuentes on the mound. Coming up, we're going into the front page. Aaron Rodgers has a major announcement about the future of his career. And my Mac drop, Bo, I'm going to need you to find some money in the budget. I have found yet another sport I would like to be the correspondent for, and you're going to have to send me there. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah.
It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 6:41. You've got Mike here, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan. And Bo, I know you're getting adjusted to having the little one, Pork Chop, in your life every day, taking care of her. But Mike, you're living that dink life this week.
Oh, dude.
How's it going?
It's so good. It is so good. I do miss my kids, and we're halfway through the dink week. They're down at grandma camp down in Florida, and they're spending the week down there. They went to a Blue Angels air show yesterday.
Oh, how fun.
It looked like they had a great time. Well, until they got hot, it looked like they had a great time. But it is funny because I think that my wife and I multiple times this week have kind of looked at each other and gone, really like each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, gosh, you kind of forget that from time to time.
Well, and just FYI, Dink is dual income, no
kids. No kids. Yeah, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Now, I mean, the income part, you're still spending money on them, but nonetheless, man, it's been nice to. Wife and I went to a little Mexican dinner last night before iRacing night, and you know, just were able to hang out, man. It's been a beautiful thing.
That's why you wrecked in like the third, fourth lap and cost me the race.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Seems like life has just been a little bit different. Now,
I blame Mike Sizer.
I wrecked and cost him the race. He's not mentioning the fact that he wrecked then 10 laps later.
You know why? Because I was that was, real quick, we're at Pocono.
Go for it.
We're at a track. You're not going to get a lot of cautions. I was blanking and getting. I was eating. I was out front by about a second, just running my own race. And Mike can't stay out of trouble and then throws me back into the pack. So just, I tell you what, a butterfly effect.
You know, I hear the stories about the iRacing. I don't think I've ever asked, is it real time? Like, are you guys racing for as long as, like, they will at the Quaker State 400 this weekend?
No. I'm available at Walmart.
Yeah. It's a quarter. We do a quarter of the laps. One quarter of the lap.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not, it's a simulator. I know that, shout out Dave Gordon for asking Daniel Suarez live on the air the other day.
Oh, well, I'm going to ask Chase
simulator
today.
And you know, there's no, like, you have to actually drive during, like, the caution laps, mm-hmm. and you have to actually drive down pit road and do all those things. You don't just hit a button and fast forward it. Like, it is real-time driving. Yeah.
It's real. It's not a video game.
There's no bathroom breaks.
Right. So it'll take a couple hours. If we did the full alley, it would probably take us, like, 4 hours, 3 hours.
My wife had a friend over last night, one of our neighbors, to watch some trash TV Bravo.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she watched your race. I was like, I didn't know they were down there.
And the
I was
Valley like, finale.
I walked upstairs between qualifying and the actual race, and I was like, what are y'all doing up here watching some trash? And she was like, go drive your car, redneck. I was like, wow, that would hurt. That would hurt.
I told you what Amy, I've said this on the air before. We were talking about iRacing and her parents, yeah. And it was like a holiday or something, and her younger brother-in-law was asking about it, and I was telling him about it. And of course, her dad was like, oh, it ain't real. If you wreck, you can just get another car. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's a simulator. But then Amy starts shaking her head. I go, what? She's like, this is by far the nerdiest thing you've ever done since we've been together. And we've been together for like 16 years.
I was going to say, it goes back to the trend that Allie brought up the other day, the viral trend where it's like, my husband wants to show you something, and you better be nice.
Right.
This is my iRacing rig. This is my steering wheel, and I really love it. And, yeah.
So. Look at the curve monitor.
There is a lot going on, and Aaron Rodgers back in the headlines. Once again, he joined Pat McAfee yesterday, and he said maybe he's thinking this might be his last season.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL? Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
Yeah. At the end of it, I read the quote. He said, you know, I'll be going away. I'll be straight up Kaiser Sose. And I'm looking forward to it. And I was like, I swear my first reaction, I don't dislike Aaron Rodgers. My first reaction, though, was we're all looking forward to it, dude. Like, you know what I mean? We can stop hearing about this so much.
Is it so? First off, I'm starting to think that he's a tortured soul. Like, there's just something. He just can't. Everything is drama with him. He and Brett Favre's career oddly took turns, like, much like the other. You know, Rodgers is drafted in Green Bay. Favre was obviously traded there. He was drafted here in Atlanta. But Favre's like, I'm not going to help him. That's not my job. Rodgers is there. They draft Jordan Love when he's late in his career. He goes, not my job to help him. They both go then play for the Jets, which didn't help. It was not good for either guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, now they're going on another team, and they're going to try to end it. But at the end of their career, every year, it was like, am I going to play? Am I not? And they're both Hall of Fame quarterbacks who are literally two of the best to ever do it. But they both have this hunger inside them that has to be like placated to and talked about, like, oh, and in the media.
Does everyone still care about me? Do you still care? So, scale of 1 to 10, how much do you believe him? How much do you think this will be his last year?
I actually believe him.
I do too.
I think he's supposedly got married in the offseason. I think he's tired. To me, he seems like a guy that just wants to win. He wants to prove that he still can do it and he could do it and it was not his fault in New York. And that's what he's got to prove.
Yeah.
I would say this, Mike. I don't know if you agree with this. Him getting Mike Tomlin his first playoff win without Ben Roethlisberger would probably be enough for him to say, see, Mike, you're a good coach, and I still got it too. I'm going out in the sunset.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I don't think there's any doubt that Mike Tomlin's a good coach. I think that they needed to rearrange some pieces for sure, but the timing of this statement is what makes me actually believe him. Dude, it's the end of June,
mm-hmm.
and he's been a Steeler for, 2 weeks? You know what I mean? Like, this is not one of those things where he's reacting to training camp and being like, I can't do this anymore. Like, this, he's actually put some thought into this, and I think that he really was on the line of not coming back to begin with. And so I think the fact that he went through minicamp and then he gets past minicamp, he's got like a month off before he has to report training camp. He's like, dude, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I would be good going back to the life I had 2 weeks ago. I'm just fine with that.
I agree, but not as much. I think when he met with them, and I think it was April. Was it April that he met with them, or was it March?
I think it was March.
It was before the draft. He met with them. I think they said, we want you. Do you want to be here? What can we do to make this work? And I believe, to this day, said, I don't want to do anything other than training camp. Yeah, well, what about mini camp? Show up for like a day and a half? Yeah, sure. I honestly believe that. I think they made it easy on him, and he was like, look, this will be a one and done, and you guys can get ready for next year with a quarterback. So.
Yeah, so Aaron just wants to ride off into the sunset with the Miserys. That's what's going to be happening.
Dude.
Might
okay,
be too
hang
inside
on.
Baseball there.
Hang on. You got to bring people in on the story. You can't just drop
Here's
that. Because people
Here's
are going to think that you're the one that messed it up.
I know.
I messed it up earlier. All right, just early. I was talking about a t-shirt that a WNBA player wore.
Bro.
And that, see, you're supposed, I expect him, you're supposed to protect me. We go back along. We have Facebook memories popping
you ever
up.
Have somebody, you guys ever have somebody mess up a word so bad that you don't even know what they're talking about?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
exactly what happened with Bo during the break. He was talking about the word Mrs. Mrs.
How do you say it?
M-R-S. And I go, what? He goes, how do you say it? Miserous? Miserous? And I go, what are you talking
well,
about?
Well, maybe you know,
M-R-S. No,
go,
it wasn't.
Hold on,
bad.
Dylan.
What?
Hold on. Maybe if you didn't critique every word I say, Mike.
I didn't.
You do.
I just
every
didn't.
Time
I was trying to help you.
Maybe I'm just trying to be perfect. You
I was
what?
Just trying to help you.
Is this where you want to be?
You said
is this
you,
where y'all want to be?
You couldn't ever get that one right, man.
No. I'll make this even. I'll take a shot at.
I can go silent.
I'll go ahead and take a shot at Mike now because Mike has the hot goss on Taylor Swift.
I do have the hot goss on Taylor Swift. I was like, man, did y'all see that Taylor Swift did a surprise performance before Tight End University up in Nashville, Tennessee? How cool is that? Tight Ends and Friends, the concert was called. It actually included Chase Rice as well,
cool.
Former football player at the University of North Carolina and best friend of one Garrett Reynolds, who used to play right guard here for the Atlanta Falcons. So interesting, obviously, and Charlie Warner, the Falcons tight end, is participating in Tight End University. The quote-unquote starting tight end for the Atlanta Falcons is not. So there's 50 people in Nashville participating in Tight End University, which is always – it's become a massive event. But again, Charlie Warner up there doing what he needs to do. Are you shocked Kyle Pitts is not there?
No.
I'm not either.
I'm shocked that this is a whole this is a whole thing now where they have a concert and they have fans attending.
Tight ends and friends.
I give the guys that do the pass rush thing, at least they just show up and work. You're like, hey, I heard they were in Denver, yeah, they're out there working.
It's like the ESPYs up there in Nashville.
I don't know what these diva-ass tight ends are doing, but, I mean, having concerts and stuff, but you can tell where that position's jumped a shark.
Well, and tonight the NBA draft is going down. We're going to talk to Caleb Johnson in a bit on what we can expect. That will be at 8 o'clock. But now we got to get into this Mac drop. There are some things I will just never understand. I see these videos all the time, and I want to know how they do it. How people get their dogs trained to surf. I mean,
no.
My dogs barely know how to sit.
There's dogs that surf?
Yes.
I've seen the ones that skateboard.
I've seen them surf before.
Really?
They paddle out there, too.
To the point that over the weekend in Huntington Beach, Purina held the Incredible Dog Challenge Surf Contest.
Okay, Googling.
Yeah, you can go to at Allie Mac Radio on Twitter if you want to see the footage of the dogs surfing. Corgis, Dalmatians, Pit Bulls, Labs, they were all showing off their skills riding waves. It's not just surfing. They also have dogs from all over the country come in to surf. They compete in diving, jumping through hoops, all the agility courses. And these dogs are truly pro athletes. If you really dive into it and you get in the rabbit hole that I did, some of them even have special jackets that help with muscle recovery.
That is phenomenal. Also,
I'm sorry, what?
How amazing is that?
I want your Twitter algorithm so bad. You know what? You know what just popped up on my algorithm? Three women in the street fighting with brooms that someone turned into lightsabers on the video. Mm. And you've got dogs surfing, man.
Yeah, you
got to
start liking some positive, good-feeling stuff.
Yeah, my algorithm's all messed up as well.
Your algorithm. So this year's winner was actually a repeat champ. It's a Petey. The surf dog. He is a 6-year-old terrier. He caught a long wave to secure his title. How in the world, though, do you start to train your dog to surf?
I don't even know how this even starts. Like, I don't even want my dog won't even go near a pool.
Right?
I feel like, you know what I mean? Although he does kind of like the lake, I guess. But like, so is the owner out there in the water and they're pushing him?
That's what's going on. Okay. They launch them and then the dog rides the wave all the way in.
This one dog's doing the downward dog yoga pose.
Yeah, that's Petey.
And it it's so working for him on his surf because he rides the wave all the way to the sand.
This is so good. I'm looking at it on your social, obviously, and pulling it up on YouTube. And this is so good. So good. And it's the different breeds that actually make this incredible.
Oh, I know. So, Bo, I have to ask because you are management here at 92.9 Game. Please.
No. You might have gotten somewhere had you not came at me earlier. But
with the Miseris?
Yeah, now your budget has been, you know, I just sent your budget to Dylan's next Eagles trip.
We're going to have to do a segment at some point that's just, guess what Bo's trying to say? And just drop the word in there. And then
you think we should?
Miseris.
You think we should do that segment?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
It seems like your budget might be cutting next, Mike.
Yeah, Mike just went from a nice camper from Campers Inn at NASCAR to a tent that Dylan's going to put up for him.
I do have to bring
it up. I'm going to let Dylan do a pop-up tent for you now.
I do have to bring it up before we go to break. My dog, my son the other day discovered weenie dogs and was astounded. He was like, what is that? I was like, that's a weenie dog, buddy. Can we get one? And then he asked me if our dog Charlie, a boy, could have a puppy weenie dog. And I was like, that's not even close to how it works, but I love where your head's at.
Aww.
You know what I mean? He's like, can Charlie have a baby weenie dog? I'm like, no, man, that's not how it is. But I realized that thing looks pretty cool. So he was astounded to see a dog like a weenie dog.
Yeah, I don't
even understand. And he loves, I don't know why he's never put two and two together, loves Slinky from Toy Story.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Actually rode the Slinky ride down at Disney World.
Fun fact, my last dog was a Beagle and Dachshund, or Dachshund, however you say it, mix.
No, Dachshund.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I said. Yes.
That's what I thought it was,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, kind of like the car.
Yeah, exactly.
They're spelled different, though.
It is. A little bit of a tongue twister.
Your algorithm.
Well, if you do want to see those surfing dogs, like I mentioned, it is on my Twitter at Ally Mac Radio at 929 Morning Shift as well. And coming up, we're going to talk about those Braves because that was quite a game last night. We're also going to cover the Hawks' latest trade next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.